Welcome to a special call with CJP's Cheryl Aronson and special guest Mark Friedman on the following topic, creating social change in Israel or efforts to build opportunity for Ethiopian Jews. To welcome you all is Interim Vice President of Planning, Elisa Diener-Agus. Elisa, you may begin.
Thank you all for joining us today to hear more about CJP's work in Haifa, Israel. CJP's Connected Conference Call Series is a new opportunity we've launched for donors and supporters of our work. We hope these conversations provide insight into CJP's strategy, the why we do what we do, and that this experience gives you an opportunity to ask questions and find more concrete connection to the areas you support or feel passionate about. So let's begin. As you may have noticed in the pre-read document sent in advance of this call, in our recent strategic plan, we defined our outcome goals across our four areas of impact: caring, justice, learning and living, and Israel. In other words, we aim to focus and align our efforts on specific and measurable outcomes. Today, we focus our attention on Israel. We've clarified that our aspiration is to be a Boston community that deeply engages with Israel and its people. Additionally, our strategic plan has helped CJP redefine our mission to focus more specially on problem-solving, proactive risk-taking, learning, and improvement to find approaches that represent scalable solutions to our challenges. Of course, as written, our work looks siloed in four separate buckets. In fact, as Cheryl and Mark will explain, our work creating social change in Israel, in particular, our efforts to build opportunity for Ethiopian Jews, is a wonderful example of how we, in fact, make our greatest impact when we work across all of our aspirations of caring, justice, learning and living, and Israel. To talk more about this work are Cheryl Aronson, CJP's Vice President of Israel and Overseas, and Mark Friedman, co-chair of the Ethiopian Committee for the Boston-Haifa Connection. With that, I turn it to Cheryl to begin the conversation, and you will have time and opportunity to ask questions at the end.
Thanks, Elisa. So for Israel, for our Israel and Overseas agenda, specifically focusing on Israel, we have two primary goals. One is to engage the next generation of Jews in Israel, and the second is to foster connections and relationships with the people of Israel. And as Elisa said, one of our aspirations is to bring diaspora Jews and Israel Jews closer together. And our Israel agenda is a great way of doing that. So the question is, what is our added value? What is our best return on investment for achieving those goals? And we found that the 30-year relationship, almost 30-year relationship, that we have with Haifa is actually a great opportunity for us to leverage change in Israel and to really fulfill the goals that we've defined. Our Israel work cuts across, as Elisa said, all of the areas of the strategic plan. And one of those areas that we're going to speak about today is the area of social change. One of the special elements of the Boston-Haifa connection is that we can actually work together on these social change agendas, meaning those from Boston and those from Haifa can really begin to think about what are the biggest issues that we want to address, and then how do we best achieve that. And so what we've been doing is increasingly leveraging Haifa as a laboratory for change and seeding investments with Haifa that then can yield national partners across Israel and actually enhance what we're doing in Haifa to bring to the broader country. So to join me in this discussion specifically around Ethiopian Jewry in Haifa is Mark Friedman. And Mark not only is the past co-chair of the Boston-Haifa Connection, but he's also continued his invaluable volunteering as a leader with the Boston-Haifa Connection by becoming the co-chair of the Ethiopian Committee. and he is here to talk more about his involvement. So, Mark, the first question, which I think is interesting, is, you know, that you've been a supporter and volunteer in this work for many, many years, and I think it's important to ask, like, what is it about this work or the impact that we're seeing in Haifa that keeps you connected and involved?
Well, Cheryl, I've been involved with the Ethiopian Jewry Committee and its work for around 10 years now. I first got involved, actually, strangely enough, through a family visit to Haifa about 12 years ago, where we visited a school called the Gabrielli School in Haifa, and our kids got to play with some of the kids there and interact with them. And it was not only my kids, but also it was an extended family trip. My nieces and nephews were also there. And they made a connection right then and there with kids who didn't speak any English. They spoke either Amharic, which is the language of Ethiopia, or some Hebrew. These were young kids. But our kids were able to somehow still connect with them through playing soccer and through just interaction. And actually, one of my sons, after we came home, he was at bar mitzvah age. He decided to raise money for that school, for his bar mitzvah project. And I saw that, and I was really moved by that. And I said, you know, I'm going to get more involved with this too. I didn't know much about the Ethiopian connection to Israel, and I just decided to throw myself into that as well. And through CJP, I got involved with the Boston Haifa and Ethiopian Jewry Committee. And over the years, as Cheryl said, I worked on the committee. Then I actually became the co-chair of Boston Haifa, and I got to see all the other great things we do in Haifa. But I didn't want to lose that connection. We make connections, person-to-person connections when we go to Haifa. And these became friends of mine, and these are people. After I finished my co-chairmanship of Boston Haifa, I didn't want to leave that. I didn't want to say goodbye to these people. That was one of the key reasons why I decided I would have to get back involved again, and I went back and joined the Ethiopian Jewry Committee. And the one thing that particularly just draws me to that is that the amount of success we've had in helping them integrate into Israeli society in Haifa. I'll get into that later, but there's just some great achievements that we've seen there in Haifa, and it's just great to have friends who I see when I go to Haifa, friends who come to visit when they come here to Boston, and it's just a great way to get connected, not only to Haifa, but also to Israel at large.
Great. So Mark, you know, as you said, the work is not just from 30,000 feet, but part of our opportunity is that we really get to delve into understanding how do we create the most effective product by actually engaging deeply with the community. In order to be effective and support a community, it's clear that we need to understand the characteristics of the population. So can you tell us a little bit about Ethiopian Jews who live in Haifa?
Sure. I believe the most current census reports say that there's about 5,000 Ethiopians that live in the Haifa area, out of a total of 150 or so thousand that live in all of Israel. So Haifa has a very large population of Ethiopians. It's not the largest, but it's actually significantly larger than populations that are found in like Tel Aviv or Jerusalem. So it's great that we have this connection with Haifa that's been going on for nearly 30 years. But the Ethiopians that live in Haifa have the same issues that you see throughout all of Israel. There's language barriers. There's the intergenerational problems of parents not being able to pass on knowledge and wisdom that they learned when they were growing up in Israel because they were immigrants, which is critical. And there's also the key cultural differences. Now, back in the 80s and 90s when, you know, the big immigrations took place, Operation Moses and Operation Solomon, you know, those first-generation Ethiopians had tremendous problems, you know, integrating into society. But, you know, we've been involved for close to 20 years now with Ethiopians in Haifa, And we've helped that first generation and second generation deal with the language barriers. You know, there's, you know, we've set up English language courses and Hebrew language courses, Hebrew language courses, and in some cases English. But they've been taught how to use technology. We know Israel is the startup nation, but that kind of passed by the Ethiopian immigrants, and that's critical for success in Israel. And, you know, there's the Ethiopian population that moved to Israel was basically a rural agrarian society with limited literacy, and you know, it was a major shock to move to such a modern society in Israel. And but the nice thing is, you know, from what I've seen over the last 10 years, what we have done in Haifa, particularly with the Ethiopian community, is to really provide that support system that helped them in so many different areas: education, employment, empowerment, cultural sensitivity, even healthcare. It's been a great way to see how well the Ethiopians have improved while living in Haifa, and unfortunately versus like some of the other communities in Israel where they're falling behind. There's key data that we've done through, you know, post analysis of some of the programs that have shown, for instance, in education, the Ethiopian Israelis are graduating at the same matriculation rates or getting their, you know, degrees from high school at the same level as the non-Ethiopians. Yet in the rest of the country, it's well below that. And so that shows, you know, there's things, many instances like that have just really been showing that the Ethiopian Jews, they still face issues. There's still lots of problems out there. There's still discrimination. There's still other things, just like everywhere else. But I think, you know, I like to pat us on the back a little bit and say that, you know, the stuff we've done along with the municipality, which has been a great partner with us, we've got a lot done.
So, Mark, as you've articulated so clearly, we have a population with a lot of challenges, and Haifa could have faced a situation where these folks were considered even second-class citizens. And so how have CJP's efforts specifically today, even today, helped to move Ethiopian Jews to stability? And maybe you could give a few examples of what the Ethiopian Jewry is focused on in a couple of impact areas.
Sure. Yes. In many cases, Ethiopian Jews, Ethiopian Israelis, unfortunately, are treated as second-class citizens. It's quite common among any immigrant population in any country. They come in, they don't have the language skills, they don't have this, they don't have that. But in Israel, you know, it's could be due to racism to some extent. But what we've done in Haifa to try and minimize that with our various programs is we focused on certain things. I talked about education. A key part of what we did was a program called Shilavim, which we did for many years, and it's still active today. It's now been taken over by the municipality. Was a program mainly focused on education up through the elementary schools and up through high school, and that's really helped mostly the second generation Ethiopians really benefit from a proper education and an understanding of how important education is. What we've also focused on, and I've really put a lot of emphasis on, is now securing jobs. And unfortunately, throughout Israel, many Ethiopian Israelis cannot get secure jobs. They cannot get a lot of their jobs are through temporary services, manpower. They don't get stability in the work that they're doing. What we have done is focused on putting together programs in Haifa that helps Ethiopians get beyond the entry-level, non-growth jobs and put them into jobs that have a career potential to advance and to move up the ladder, basically. And there's, you know, a common one that just happened recently is through the EGED bus department. They, for years, had never taken any Ethiopians as trainees to become bus drivers. And now we've gotten a program going where there's actually bus drivers being trained, have passed the tests, and are going to become bus drivers. And the same thing, has done some things at hospitals, other places, where they're more than just being nurses, being like the lower level janitors. They're now actually people becoming nurses, and we're also doing it in as teachers, where they're beginning to rise above the non-growth area jobs. The new area that we also work on is a thing called Netivim, which is our work with Israeli soldiers. Both not only the students that are going to become soldiers who are still in high school, but those that are in the service and those that come out of the service. And this program, Netivim, as you probably know, is, you know, what you do in the IDF is critical for the future of your career and your position in society. So rather than having Ethiopians, Israelis become, again, in IDF, the truck drivers or the cooks or the janitors in this service, we have programs that help train them and get them mentorship and training to understand that they need to try and go after the elite jobs in the IDF, because the contacts that they'll make in the IDF, our contacts will help them throughout the rest of their life. So hopefully in the next 5 to 10 years, we'll see the benefits of that. It's a relatively new program, but we're already seeing some very positive results. And we also do things to help teach the parents how to manage their children and their children's lives while they're in the IDF, which is something that wasn't understood before. And it's just great work, and we have many more things that we'd like to be doing. I think we're seeing a lot of great results.
Great. You know, I think just to summarize, I think that one of the most remarkable pieces, and we have a lot of work to do in these areas, but one of the most remarkable results is the fact that the city of Haifa is basically supporting 45% now of almost half of what we're leveraging, almost half from the municipality of what we're putting in. And I think that that bodes well for the future of our investments in Haifa. And we've also partnered nationally so that the results that are seeing, which are quite remarkable, are being shared and utilized by other regions in Israel. I just want to mention going forward that we have an opportunity, a great opportunity, to meet with some of the folks who will be coming from the Ethiopian Agenda, a handful of Ethiopians, as well as those who are working as Mark's counterparts on the volunteer level, to Boston, and we can have a chance to all meet with them, either one-on-one. They'll be coming as well as part of Celebrating Israel at 70 and the Israel Independence Day celebration. So stay tuned. We'll offer more information, and we'll send it out to everybody.
Oh, if I could just add one other thing. The power of CJP, you know, as a volunteer is unbelievable. You know, we have our March meetings coming up in Israel in 1 week, and 50 people from Boston are heading over to Haifa to talk about all of the things that we do. It's not just Ethiopian Jewry. There's so many other great things that we do in Haifa. And the fact that 50 people will take a week out of their lives, pay for airfare, and just go to work with our partners and see the programs that we're doing on the ground in Haifa just shows how powerful the work is that we're doing in Haifa. And I can't wait to go next week to see everybody again.
Mark, Cheryl, thank you both for your time and really impassioned thoughts today. This concludes the formal portion of our presentation, and at this time, I'd like to open this up for any questions.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, if you'd like to ask a question, please signal by pressing *1 on your telephone keypad. And if you're using a speakerphone, please make sure your mute function is switched off to allow your signal to reach our equipment. Again, *1 to ask a question, and we'll pause for just a moment to allow everyone an opportunity to signal for questions. As a reminder, that's *1 to ask a question. We'll take a question from Rebecca Manning. Please go ahead. Your line's now open.
Hi there. I was wondering if you could just talk a little bit about any challenges you hear from our partners in Haifa.
I guess there's always challenges, particularly with the Ethiopian community. There's still, you know, issues. While some people have benefited from all the programs that go on through the municipality and through us, There's others that have fallen through the cracks in one way or the other. You know, our program tries to reach as many people as possible, but, you know, ideally there are waiting lists for many of the programs that we do. We wish we could expand and do more. And others, there are some people who just don't get a chance to take advantage of the programming that we provide. No matter how much we do, there's still going to be some racism. There's still going to be some issues of discrimination that goes on. But I think it's changing. And when we talk to our friends over in Haifa, they still see some problems, but I think they feel that in Haifa it's a little bit better than in other places.
Yeah, I would just add that I think one of the challenges that we have, sometimes we're victims of our success. So one of the greatest achievements was to build a whole department inside the city for the Ethiopian agenda. Whereas before we started, I would say that, and I think, Mark, you would agree that it was really an unrecognized challenge. The fact that there were a number of Ethiopian families that were not being served, moving from that to the city really taking ownership is wonderful. The challenge with that, of course, is that part of our agenda success is that we empower Ethiopians themselves at the grassroots level to be the decision makers. So we always want to make sure that we have the proper balance between something being city-run and also continuing to empower the Ethiopians and making sure that the city stays very close to the field and to the communities at the grassroots level.
We'll now take a question from Lenore Wadman. Please go ahead. Your line is now open.
Oh, hi. This is a question for Mark. I'm just wondering if you have any stories in particular that really have stood out to you and had a deep impact on you personally.
Something that recently happened was something that really touched me, and there's one program that we do that's called Beit Magal, which is a program for teenage Ethiopian high-risk women. And it's a program basically like a girls' club. It's a small center that caters to them and gives them an opportunity to hang out off the streets in a way that they won't get into trouble. They get to make friends. They get to talk to social workers. They get to be in a safe space. And something that happened, that's been going on for a couple of years now, unfortunately at one point the budget suddenly was yanked out from the municipality, and they weren't able to have programming on a Friday, on Shabbat night, and also I think Saturday night. And when I heard about that, I was really upset that this is a program that's been going on. They felt secure and safe, and yet now they were suddenly not going to be able to go to this safe space. So we did some internal fundraising, and we were able to raise money here in Boston, and we're able to quickly get that back on track. And I'm looking forward to visiting with them. They're taking me to a Shabbat dinner in 2 weeks, so I'm looking forward to visiting with them and talking with them and seeing how the program's going now that we've got it back on track again.
As a reminder, star one to ask a question. We'll have another brief pause to allow people an opportunity to signal. It appears there are no further questions at this time. I'd like to turn the conference back to you for any additional or closing remarks.
I want to thank you all for attending. Our next call is entitled Tzedek: How Jewish Values Create a More Just and Peaceful World. It is on Wednesday, February 28th at 12 noon. If you'd like to join, please email connected@cjp.org to register. Goodbye, everyone, and take care.
Ladies and gentlemen, this concludes today's call. Thank you very much for your participation. You may now disconnect.